Welcome to the podcast after the podcast. This is Short Rest.
Welcome to Short Rest, everybody.
I picture us just like slowly being sucked up into a spaceship as that's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, why not?
That's fun.
What do you guys picture?
When we do that,
mm-hmm.
all of us coming into a fire.
Whoa. Brutal.
That's cool.
Yeah. Wow. Is that, that seems like mythological in a way.
Yeah.
Like that
right?
certainly happened yeah. in a Greek myth.
We're yeah. like spilling our seed into the flame.
Yeah. yeah. And then like from the ashes, the world was born.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, I just imagine bursting out of a pair of pants. That's what I'm thinking when I say like unbutton that top button.
Oh, whoa. Not like bursting that in a while, into yeah. the pants. But
not bursting
out.
Into them.
What okay. about you, Jake? What do you picture?
I also picture my belly spilling out over my pants cool. as I unbuckle and relax. But I will from now on start thinking about coming into a fire because it's way better.
It's just like, is that where like the elemental titans came from?
Yeah.
Who can say?
I think coming into a fire is actually going to be the only thing I think about for a long time.
It's got its hooks in me for sure.
It would be so yeah. dangerous though, because mm-hmm. fires sure. are always like spitting little sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be a bad idea.
It would depend how far you can shoot.
Yeah, true. If you like arc it into the air, because mm-hmm. you do have like the chance of a pubic hair catching on fire.
Yeah, ooh, that's definitely. Dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely don't try it at home. Just think
yeah.
about it at home.
Yeah. yeah.
They're curly and singed already though.
Yeah. So you just do it into a candle. It doesn't have to be like a bonfire.
Oh, that's true.
This just seems like, you know, in Howl's Moving Castle, the little fire guy in there.
Calcifer?
Calcifer. This is how Calcifer was born, right?
No.
They don't mention that in the
don't
book.
Don't you fucking think. Dare.
Don't you dare.
I'm sorry.
Don't you fucking
ask
dare.
Ask Hayao Miyazaki. He will say the same thing.
Or
he'll say, I'm disappointed in my son. And also, this is how Calcifer was born.
Yeah.
This was a fun one.
Yeah.
You guys actually went a pretty interesting way about solving the sort of pleasure pod puzzle.
Ooh.
Because there were Jimmys there. They were at the bar. They were at the merry-go-lounge.
Ah.
I did want to go to the merry-go-lounge.
Oh, yeah. What was going to happen at the merry-go-lounge?
It would have just been a different way to get the info. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys essentially got it through Adam going in, doing a detect thoughts, and then Ox doing a hack. Check mm-hmm. basically to like confirm it. The other way to get in would have been to go to the merry-go-lounge, and then there was a like Jimmy, like a brute that wanted to like go find you guys and was like pissed off that he was there, and he was like the bodyguard for like a kind of drunk like rogue Jimmy guy.
Whoa.
And if you had read their minds or liquored them up or talked to them, they might have told you about the secret passage, or you could have beat it out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or you could have followed them or something like that.
To be honest, I like don't totally trust myself with the social stuff.
Yeah.
Like
no.
I it feels like, because I literally took the skilled feat so that we could have someone who had like some charisma mm-hmm. stuff in there, and it still feels like plus five just isn't enough.
Plus five is good though, because it's like it gives you a boost, but it's like it's not a sure thing.
My best stat is athletics, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that's my plus eight.
Yeah.
That's my only like good stat. So I'm like, that's the only one that it's like, okay, if I have to do something, it's gonna be this.
You only you've been rolling really well for like combat, but you've been rolling kind of bad for other stuff,
no,
including
so
initiative.
I've actually been rolling really bad since I told the dice I need to stop critting.
Whoa,
Dice
Christ
rolled,
is
like,
upset with
I've
you.
I've rolled insanely bad. Like I'm rolling like because a lot of like my dexterity saves are with mm-hmm. advantage, and I'm rolling like 3 and 5.
Wow.
The amount of times I've rolled a 2 and a 3 or a 3 and a 5, it's a comical amount.
Because mm-hmm. I've noticed that you roll bad in initiative a lot, and then I was looking at your character sheet because I used them for the little mirror guys.
Yeah,
thanks for that.
And you
I did not give my permission for that.
You have a plus five.
Yeah, I
know. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you rolled bad, and every slug went before you.
I know.
Oof.
But you.
But
guys,
I think I was like hoping like blindsight would like give me advantage or something like that. I have such a thorn for the fact that. And it makes sense. I looked up what blindsight is. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean that it would help me in a mirror maze, but I just wanted to do something out of combat useful so badly. So
but you
like
ultimately
such a thorn, because I've been waiting to use blindsight, and I was mm-hmm. like, this is the moment.
Yeah.
Well,
and
then I did nothing, and then
no,
I read
that's not
through
true.
The description of blindsight, and I was like, yeah, this wouldn't do anything.
But
for
it did
a
because
mirror.
I narrated you seeing that the fake ox was about to like stab.
Oh
the real
so
ox.
He didn't get like a,
so he didn't get a surprise round.
Yeah,
you guys
I know. I just
went in rolled initiative.
I think I just like want. I just have nothing in my toolkit except. For combat
mm-hmm.
and so this was like me being like, wait, but maybe I can help out. And then I was like, no, blindsight doesn't actually apply to this.
It's a tough one for theater of the mind, D&D. Yeah. So I feel like it just seems like we encounter less like dark room.
Yeah, I also have this like 120-foot dark vision that I'm like, oh, this never comes into play.
Although you could, hey, if you want to do that, just like cut the lights. I feel like get Ox to like pull the circuit breaker or something like that. And we have a fight in the dark. That's going to be fun.
But the problem is that's not helpful for you guys.
We'd figure it out.
Nah, yeah.
I think I've got spells and stuff.
Just like, you guys have so many out of combat tools in your kit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, oh, this is going to really help. And then I read the description. And I was like, it's actually not going to do anything.
I'm like almost thinking about, we have enough slots for it because we managed to buy some
more slots now. Yeah,
yeah, and you swiped one.
Oh, we got the extra slot.
But I'm like almost thinking about getting rid of Lucky because it's like, I have so much stuff. I have like the risk dice. Yeah. I have the autonome like built for success. I'm like Lucky on top of that. It almost feels, you know what? I'm doing the same thing you were doing. I'm doubting Dice Christ. All the benefits and all the boons that Dice Christ
has given me. Yeah, I wouldn't get rid of fucking Lucky in a second.
I've been jealous whenever you're like, you're adding things to your rolls.
Yeah, I know.
What's skin of my teeth?
Skin of my teeth, yeah.
Oh, can I have that too?
It's fun.
I also just like, I have like no way to help either. Mm-hmm. So it's like every time you guys are, like the only thing I have that helps is like, I can give people temp HP in combat, which is very helpful. But then it's like when you guys are rolling, I have nothing to add. And I'm like not used to being like, I have nothing to give you. You're on your own.
Yeah.
Good luck.
That is the only thing I don't like about my build as well. Is like I have nothing that can like benefit someone else. I don't have like a bless ability or like a bardic inspiration or something like that.
Yeah, it's confusing.
It always sucks just like watching your friend just like flail out there.
Yeah.
But maybe I can share my autonome points or something like that.
No, give you an upgrade. You should not do that. No, I think that they're all perfect the way they are. I have been rolling like shit.
But hey.
So there's nothing to do. I mean, maybe you roll with advantage. And if you roll like shit still, it's just the dice being like, I guess you didn't want to crit, bitch.
Yeah. And I think I actually roll like shit in combat, but I roll better outside of combat.
Yeah. So we're balancing each other out. Each other out.
It felt good to finally get you back with the shield.
Yeah.
Oh,
that really, that was tough. That really hurt because I was like, oh, Ox gets hit all the time. I go down all the time in combat. I'll be able to hit this guy. Shield. I feel like so often I'm getting hit for like 24, 25. My shield so rarely works.
Yeah.
I honestly, the second you guys had shields, I was like, I actually am not even going to go after the Oxes. Like it made them like not good targets.
Yeah. So that fight was kind of, so I'll tell you, it was great that you pointed out, you're like, oh, it's mirror image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it was. And originally I was like, oh, maybe there'll be an encounter where Pietro and Carly Quinn like appear out of the mirrors and they each have mirror image on themselves. And then I was like, that just sounds kind of fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't sound like kind of interesting mechanics or anything. And then I was like, maybe we'll do something like what we ended up doing where like these guys are really heavy hitters, but literally as soon as you poke them, they die.
That was so good. I was really worried because I was like, oh, we're just like whittling it down to find the real ones. But the fact that they were like all
no,
mirror
there's
images
no real
was
ones.
Great.
Yeah. So it was also kind of balanced. It was basically balanced with the idea in mind that like you guys would take out two each round basically or each turn. But then they rolled really good. Slug rolled really bad, and then the shield took out Ox's attacks. So it like really went fucking sideways.
It went so bad.
It couldn't have gone worse.
Yeah, it was.
But
really
I like
bad.
That setup. It's like a carnival game in and of itself.
Yeah,
it's like just
hit
these guys once.
Yeah,
yeah, like whack-a-mole.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's been like, I mean, the encounters across the board have been great, but I love that we got to have like another puzzle. The little pod puzzle was very fun.
Yeah.
And then also like this mirror maze, just like everything is feeling very, very puzzly and very like tied to the zone that we're in.
So were you inspired by McDonald's Land? Did you include this because of McDonald's
Land? I mean,
who couldn't
be? I might have been.
I mean, obviously subconsciously.
We were definitely, so we were just at a fair.
Right.
And I was taking notes
of
just being like, okay, we'll have some carnival games for sure. And I remember clocking a mirror maze.
There was a mirror maze at that fair?
Yeah, definitely.
Why didn't we go in it? You should have said.
For children. It was fully for children.
Because Murph was worried about having to fight himself in there.
Was it one of those where it's like a giant truck that they kind of like wheel in?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was that, the thing it was is that it wasn't just, if it was just a mirror maze, then you're like, yeah, maybe I can go in that as an adult. But it was like attached to, it was like after you went through the mirror maze, you go through like the wheel and you go through like the area with all like the kind of like punching bag type things going through. It was very much like a child's play place.
It's okay that you were scared, Murph.
I was so scared. When I saw my own reflection, I was like, I cannot face myself.
It's for children, and therefore it would be so embarrassing for me to be scared in there.
Murph is terrified of what he would look like if he was long.
So you said that we solved the pod in a different way.
Yeah.
How did you expect us to solve it?
Oh, to talk to the Jimmies. Yeah, to follow them.
I do feel like if we had talked to the Jimmies, we would have absolutely gotten into a fight.
Yeah, it honestly worked out perfectly.
I just think I've been beating
when you guys just go up to computers and hack them, it tends to work better than you guys having any kind of interaction.
I think there's also like, I for some reason I love playing characters who couldn't disguise their voice if they tried. So it's just like I'm always so good. Like whenever I'm Onyx, she never tries to do another voice. She's always just exactly herself but disguises herself. And then it's like funny to me that Slug just could not even be like bothered or not even try. And so I think that that also stands in the way of selling any disguise I do.
It was also so funny that you were a mime and just instantly
I'm a freaking mime.
The Lion Show was honestly the best social interaction you guys have had.
I know.
Wow.
You guys just passed it and went in. You didn't even try to steal anything from the guard or like become friends with him or anything like that.
We only had to like really almost ruin the campaign twice and we learned our lesson.
For now, I'd say. Because it's true, like each zone, I feel like we're allowed like one major fuck up per zone.
Yeah.
So whatever happens next, it's zone three after this, right?
Zone three is after this, yeah.
And is that's the Jimmy's territory?
That's the Jimmy's
tunnel. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And like from what we know of the Jimmy's, like looking forward, they're like greasers, right?
They're like newsies that are adults. Oh my god. They're like real fucking
love newsies.
Pissed off newsies. Like, hey, what's your fucking problem? They have like brat. They're like a really old school gang. Like everyone else has tech where it's like cool. I have like a gun that is also a flamethrower, and they're like, I made it so my hand has brass knucks built into it.
Yeah, they got razor blades in their hats.
Exactly. Yeah.
Actually, that I could get into that.
They're honestly like that gang is the one that you guys, besides like the Red Trip, would have the most history with. So I had told you guys like early on the sort of like lore between the gangs was that Elmer and James, the main guy from the South Avenue Jimmies, had this fight where Elmer lost his hand and James had his skull caved in. And after that, they had like a begrudging respect for each other. So you guys are like rivals, not enemies with them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
But then there's Thin Jim from Thin Jim's Crypto Bar and Grill, who is like kind of slowly taking over the gang. So that's the only gang where like you guys could potentially parlay with like the actual leader, and he might be on your side versus all the other ones have been like taken over by jerks.
Yeah, because like old Jimmy, or just Jimmy, I guess, is James. Still around. James, right.
James.
James.
Thin Jim definitely sounds like some sort of like
Slim Jim.
Yeah. But like it sounds, but like it doesn't sound like a Slim Jim, because to me it sounds almost like a health conscious sort of Slim Jim.
Gross.
A Thin Jim.
Right. It's like a Thin Jim that's made out of like grain.
Well, turkey beef instead of beef.
Or it could be like a plant based Slim Jim.
Oh, that's definitely what it is.
It's like a soy based Jim.
Pea protein leather.
Pea protein leather.
Tempeh Jim.
Tempeh Jims. Satan Gems.
All right, maybe I'm things back on board. Aren't leather that are called leather. Fruit leather.
Fruit leather was,
it's honestly,
you know,
not bad.
Fruit leather's wild.
I hate fruit leather because everyone else had freaking Fruit Loops and I had to have a fruit leather.
Wait, you had like fruit leather?
Yes.
I thought that's like an adult snack. Yeah, that shit was like mixed in with some nuts or something.
That was what I was eating while everyone else was having Dunkaroos.
That fucking sucks, man.
Yeah, so really bad. I hate it now.
When I was having Eggo waffles and Coca-Cola for breakfast.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome.
It was fucking so rad. It was so rad.
I thought fruit leather was invented because we realized that fruit by the foot was too bad for you. I thought that like fruit leather was a new thing.
It was, it was probably
brand
because
new
of that. But
hot
I'm sure
off the
it
presses
was, yeah.
Fruit leather.
I mean, it does come off the presses.
Wait, I'm thinking of bubble tape and fruit roll-ups. Fruit by the foot. What one was that?
That
the
was
one that was
kind of fruit leather.
It was a long one.
It was the long one that was like a tape measure.
And it so it came out of like the bubble tape style thing.
Exactly. Bubble tape also was by the foot.
I
feel like bubble tape, you're getting so much damn bubble gum. It had to be bad, right?
But I mean, would you rather have bubble tape or Big League Chew? Because Big League Chew is so fucking good.
I don't think had no Big League Chew.
I would rather have Big League Chew for sure.
To explain to everyone that isn't a Moomer in the audience, Big League Chew was fake chewing tobacco that was
gum. That was gum. It was shredded gum. And it made you feel cool.
I remember it now. I remember it now.
It was shredded gum that came in a tobacco pouch.
In a tobacco pouch.
We also had candy cigarettes, guys. We had candy cigarettes. Yeah. Which actually brings me to a rose. I really enjoyed the Christmas cigarettes.
Oh, that was such a funny, stupid joke.
I had started to write down some myself, but the best one was the one you said, cookies for Santa cigarettes.
Cookies for Santa. I mean, there are rules now about like what cigarettes you can give to, there's none for children, but I feel like they're cracking down on vapes too for the same reason.
I was
like,
gonna say,
right, you can't even have the fun flavors.
It made me think, oh, there must be like sugar plum vapes for the holidays.
For the holidays, yeah.
Have they outlawed that?
Candy cane vape?
Candy cane, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have. I never got into vapes personally.
Yeah, same.
Also same.
Right.
It should be said.
Jake had to move to New York because his office stinks of vape smoke.
We said we didn't want to be in the same room with him. Right. Strawberry vaping all over the place. Yeah, I thought this was going to go super sideways when immediately, as you guys were making the plan, you're like, maybe I go as Cherry Jubilee. And I was like,
it was really funny because I knew we shouldn't, but I was like, Slug just wants this to happen.
Yeah.
So I can't say no.
All right. So I want you to describe fully Cherry Jubilee to me, because we said that she was very smooth.
Like, yeah, she's like very,
just
very
face tuned.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she's just completely artificial, face tuned. Yeah. Gigantic eyes. I think she is sitting on top of like an ice cream sundae.
Is it not Betty Boop?
I don't think she has the huge head. I gotta be honest. As much as I like the idea of that, I, as Slug, can't find myself attracted to that. Mm-hmm. So I just can't do it.
And is the hair, does it almost look like it's like been poured out of like a whipped cream bottle or something like that?
Oh, I was thinking more that it was like bright pink, like pigtails that like shoot up into the air.
Wow. Oh, like Big League Chew.
Yeah.
It's not to go back to Betty Boop, but it's nuts that
we personally were
so sexually attracted to Betty Boop. No, I was going to say that like pop culture was so starved that they're just like, this cartoon with a huge head is
talked about this before, haven't we?
We actually talk about Betty Boop all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I think it is. I mean, like for us.
You're not a Moomer. You're a Booper.
Right. I'm the greatest generation, honestly.
There's Betty Boop.
I'm the silent generation. I refuse to be silent about Betty Boop. Was Betty
baby
Boop considered hot?
Baby boopers.
I do think that baby boopers. I just started reading This Is How We Win the Time War. This is how we lose the time war.
Oh, I've read that.
Yeah. All about Betty Boop.
Yeah. I haven't gotten that far into it, so I don't know if Boop figures in, but it is all about kind of like pruning the timeline and stuff like that. Yeah, and I feel like that Betty Boop is a like canon event. Betty Boop is like a fixed point in time where like you don't have, I don't think you have hentai. I don't think you have like any, I don't think you have anime
Think this is a lot of people's first time being like, whoa, can be attracted to a cartoon character. This is different. And
Put in, was Betty Boop considered, and attractive is one of the first ones.
It's just the bobblehead aspect that's so confusing.
The thick, drooping cheeks.
Yeah.
It's more like Betty Droop, if I'm being honest. I'm going to get crucified online for saying
that. I'll say her body's banging.
Oh,
it's
yeah, absolutely.
It's just how it's the disproportionate.
Her body's absolutely banging.
It's banging. But the size the of the head, it just, it makes me feel sympathetic pain in my neck.
Right.
About how she's keeping that thing up.
Yeah.
Jake, you're being awfully silent about whether or not Betty Boop is banging.
She's got great lashes.
Well, I'm looking at these photos of Betty Boop. The head, it's weird because I feel like the head in my head is like twice the size. It's just larger than it should be. It's not so massive. There's something about it.
Okay, we can't have this conversation. We've done this too many times. It's four times the size of a regular head.
I think.
Are we NADPOD or is Betty Boop hot or not? What
the
does Betty
one.
Boop
Whatever
makes
the second
me
one.
Feel?
Whatever the second Guys, one is, that's what the show is.
Yeah, we're not NADPOD anymore.
Let's redo all of campaign one, but be the band of boops. And we play different Betty Boop archetypes.
And we're seeking the occult knowledge of whether or not Betty Boop is hot or
not. Right. Yeah. I mean, Betty Boop is sort of like a siren, right?
Yeah.
I am looking at a Betty Boop timeline.
Oh, does she change her appearance?
Yeah, from 1930 to present day, the head gets bigger in 1932, ultimately
that checks out.
Smaller in 35.
Mm-hmm. What was going on in 1932 that they were like, beef that?
Let's beef that head. She's too hot.
Well, they needed the head. It to be bigger so you could see it on the side of airplanes.
Oh, that's fair. Shit. Yeah. So
I have a question for you, though. Do you think that Popeye is the masculine ideal of Boop?
Wow.
If like, if Betty Boop is sort of like, you know, this like idealized first feminine form.
Just
is
barrel shaped forearms.
Oh, that's a good question. Was Popeye supposed to be hot? Because he wasn't.
No.
I think Popeye was not supposed to be hot.
But he landed Popeye's olive like, oil.
Yeah.
There's like such an oldness to him, though.
I think we
like,
should.
Like such a grandpa, Popeye's grandpa first, energy.
First short king with tall lady.
Wow.
Definitely
that's,
not. But
that's
first
fine.
Cartoon one.
That's fine. I'm saying there's a grandpa to him that like.
What would that make? Why would that make him hot?
I'm saying it does. I'm saying it stands in the way.
Mm-hmm. It stands in the way, certainly.
Yeah,
but I think it's like you could tell he used to be hot.
Oh,
right. Wow.
Now we're on to something.
Now we're definitely
young Popeye.
Oh my God.
Maybe he was supposed to be hot.
Coming to the CW.
Imagine him with the thick head of hair.
Whoa. You know what it is? I think he has like the kind of chin that men like, and that is personally to me off-putting.
But it just looks like he's chewing his own face.
Yeah.
It looks like a pair of testicles.
Yeah. He kind of looks like maybe he's had all his teeth removed because of tobacco use. It's kind of
he definitely did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's why like young Popeye, which we're going to be pitching to CBS because Sheldon's over. They need a new
young Popeye.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys like a question about like your sense of masculinity and what you aspire for?
Sure.
His forearms are huge.
Yeah.
In a way that looks super weird to me.
Yeah.
Right. Do you guys see his forearms and you're like, yes, this is my
Would I like huge calves?
Would I like this
huge forearms and otherwise skinny arms? No.
Yeah, I mean, huge forearms. I think big, strong forearms, like Mark McGuire forearms. That'd be cool, but not not at the expense of the bicep, which is Popeye has.
Popeye has biceps in his forearms.
Yeah,
but he's when like, you're like looking at like a man's form in a way that's like, oh, this is what I want to aspire to, like beyond the skinny like biceps. Let's just talk about forearms. Mm-hmm. Is forearm something that you think about crafting and cultivating?
I mean, sure, I would love to because it's like a very functional muscle. And I think Popeye got that way from like pulling on lots of ropes and like climbing masts and
freaking jacking off.
Okay. Yeah. So it looks like he has functional strength and that could be aspiration.
I think
it does. It looks like he has fucking footballs in his arms.
There's a difference between having strong forearms and having Popeye looks like something is wrong with his forearms.
Yeah, Popeye
looks
Popeye looks like he had injections into his arm.
It looks like there's a benign tumor in there.
Yeah.
Do you think it's just collagen injections?
Yeah. No, because Popeye has real power.
Mm-hmm.
I would be willing to have Popeye's arms if I got Popeye's powers with it. Because once he eats spinach, he goes off.
He's just really strong.
He can punch
people
like through walls and shit.
Yeah, yeah. He can kind of like, he'll eat spinach.
He beats the fuck out of Brutus, and Brutus is huge.
Bluto?
Bluto, was that his name?
Yeah, I think it's Bluto.
Yeah, I always get Bluto confused with the guy who helped kill Caesar.
Okay, I was going to say Brutus is like a real specific.
Yeah, they're the same. No. They're the same.
Same guy.
But sometimes cartoons do that.
Mm-hmm. Eat to Bluto?
Yeah.
When he eats spinach, do his biceps get big as well?
Sometimes his forearms will kind of like rattle around in there.
His forearms pulsate.
So what is just his forearms?
It's mostly just the forearms.
Just all forearms, yeah.
Which you would, and you know, I think that's really telling. It's like most of the power is coming from his stance and his core.
Oh, yeah. He does like an old-timey boxing stance.
Yeah. And he'll kind of like wind it up. And it is almost like his arms are so big that there's just, I think they're like weighted down. I think that like, that's the true power of Popeye is like his forearms probably weigh like upwards of like 60 to 80 pounds each.
Okay. So you got like a lot of weight behind that punch.
Yeah. I think that's what's going on
there. From the sheer weight of the forearm.
And I think that's what men are going to be trying to do is less about like getting like the shape of the forearm and just getting like the weight of
the heft of it.
Yeah. Just getting more like, we're going to be trying to just build the mass of our forearms.
Thank you. This has been a really enlightening look into like the masculine physical ideal.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we've explained the manosphere.
Yeah. It's healthy.
And can I ask you some questions about femininity and Betty Boop?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you see Boop's massive head, are you like, what is it about her huge head that makes women be like, I wish I had that?
I wish I was her. Because you look at that and you're like, damn, imagine all the brains that fit in there.
Wow.
I bet she went to Harvard, you know. I bet she went to Harvard and also look at her rack. Right?
So,
I'm kind of like, I want the brains and boobs.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Double D brain.
Yeah. Like she, like that garter belt could be like a book belt.
Oh,
that she puts her textbooks.
Oh,
in.
Shit, you're so right.
You know,
shit. Was Betty Boop the first girl boss?
Was she the first girl allowed to go to Harvard?
All there.
For sure not. Betty Boop would not be allowed to go to
Harvard. She was around like 40 years before they let women in.
Yeah, maybe just as did Betty Boop go to Harvard?
When did Harvard...
She might have gotten an honorary degree, it's true.
Let women admit matriculate. Women.
This is my favorite when did things come out.
Yeah, this is a sad when did things come out. Okay.
Well, actually, Harvard enrolled female students as early as 1920, it looks like, in their graduate school.
Whoa.
So,
But no. It looks like there was a... yes, you're right. There's the Harvard Graduate School of Education did it in 1920.
Cool.
Of education. So I think they're like, teacher is a womanly pursuit.
Okay.
Yeah, medical school was 1945.
Okay. Oh, but wow. Actually, you can see why that happened.
Okay. No, they didn't merge admissions till 1975. So I gave them too much credit.
Yeah.
Way too much.
It was
1975?
So when you could actually go to Harvard College, like the undergraduate school, like just go and just have men and women on the same campus was apparently 1977.
Christ, that is so late.
That's so fucking recent.
That's
Betty
so
Boop
crazy.
would be going back during her midlife crisis to get a diploma when she's 50. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's in her 50s. Betty Boop was in her 50s.
Wow. And Harvard has to grapple with that every day, that Betty Boop couldn't have gone there until she was 50.
So fucked up.
What a wasted opportunity.
It's so fucked up that Betty Boop couldn't go to Harvard.
We know she had the brains for it.
I just feel like
fucking NADPOD ass sentence.
Nobody's talking about this. I know there's a lot going on right now, but this
Hey, you know what? We talk about, 1977 with Harvard, but when we did the mixed bag and we're recruiting, we had the whole NADPOD nightmare verse was men. Which is pretty bad for us. 2026 for the fucking problem.
We are
so welcome
problem.
To the nightmare verse, Betty Boop. Welcome to
oh
that.
My god.
To be fair, some might
Harvard
say,
reject Betty Boop.
It could be argued that all of the people in the nightmare verse are men because they're bad.
That's fair.
But
recently we've had Peppermint Patty.
Uh-huh.
Peppermint Patty's
okay.
in there. Now.
Mm-hmm.
We got
okay.
Betty Boop. We also had Wendy Okupa, who we just kind of haven't talked about.
I was going to say, but I do think that it's on our shoulders to be more inclusive in the nightmare verse. But,
guys,
but
so
also 90s cartoons don't have a good track.
That's true.
Record.
That's true. Yeah. You're right.
And that is our
you're right. We're off the
source.
Hook. You're absolutely right.
Can we say that us as an ad pod? We are stuck in a mirror maze and we are reflecting.
Too true.
We are learning.
Who's better, us or Harvard?
Which Kong can we get?
Oh, okay. There's Candy. There's Dixie.
Yeah, there's Candy and Dixie, but like I just feel like they aren't like, they know.
Funky Kong is the funniest Kong.
Worthy.
Funky Kong is just the funniest Kong.
The funniest one.
And Donkey Kong just represents all of them.
Why do we have to be doing this work? Why do we have to be doing the hard work for Nintendo? Because a girl Funky Kong that is a problem.
Problem Kong
would be awesome.
What would what would the girl Funky be? What would her like her name, her moniker, her
I
like,
think she
pursuit?
Would literally be wearing the same exact outfit.
Yeah.
Which is not much. Not much other than a bandana.
Just a bandana. Does she no bathing suit of any sort? Just fully nude Kong.
Yeah, fully nude Kong.
Mm-hmm. Great.
With a bandana.
Great. What's her name? I'm trying to think of like a funky rhyme. Because like all of their names are kind of like descriptive to a degree.
My first thought was Quirky Kong, but that's really its own thing.
Oh, Quirky.
It's really its own thing.
We have like a mid-2000s Quirky Kong.
I know,
Kong.
But no, we need to have like a funky adjacent one though. Like Quirky really communicates such other.
Floppy Kong?
Yeah. That's
Floppy
it.
Kong, yeah.
Floppy it's got like Kong. Floppy awesome. Bangs and big floppy boobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it.
This
Boopy
is really
Kong?
Good.
Oh, we could just put Betty Boop in Donkey Kong.
We could just
put Betty Boop in Donkey Kong. That's actually awesome.
Betty Kong.
Betty Kong.
Betty Kong. She's a problem.
She's an absolute problem.
Just picturing an ape with bangs is very funny.
It's really, I actually do think that you're right. Floppy Kong is it.
Floppy Kong.
So it's just like an old hippie woman with floppy bangs.
Oh, wow. She's kind of a kook.
That is like funky.
I didn't even consider if she's older, she could date Cranky.
Whoa.
Cranky's getting back out there. We've
and
established.
And Cranky has like a problem girlfriend.
Wow.
I'm glad that you're happy, Cranky. I'm pretty sure Floppy Kong stole from us.
I'm glad she makes her own candles, but
she totaled your car, Cranky.
All right, I'm
telling
into
us
Floppy
weird
Kong.
Theories about vaccines.
Cranky's ready to date again because Wrinkly Kong, I believe, passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a ghost.
She's a ghost in Downtown Country.
Right.
But here's the thing, like, Floppy Kong is a scammer, so she's not going to be bothered by the ghost of his previous loved one.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe Donkey Kong Country 4 could be you play as the ghost of Wrinkly Kong coming to kill her husband's new wife who is scamming the Kongs.
Yeah. Kind of like a, you know, Adam's Family, the original one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Joan Cusack is the sort of like harlot who enters the picture.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like that. Yeah. I would say exactly like that. Kong family values. Wow.
This writes itself.
I'm not even going to say trademarked because I feel confident no one else would take it.
Right. No one
because
would
they play. Know they can't compete.
They know they can't keep up.
Yeah.
This is the Nintendo Direct that drops with this exact plot line.
Only AI could come up with Kong family values. Has that image ever been made?
For sure.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys want to do some roses and thorns for the episode?
We have to talk about the episode a little more first.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, we could talk about it through the scope of the roses and thorns.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, you're using your boot mind, and I appreciate it.
I have a thorn for not using my... jet flame thing right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
In my head, I was like, this big hallway of mirrors, maybe the fire is going to bounce around. I was like, it's too powerful. I'm going to wait and I'll use it on the bosses. And then as soon as everyone started using it on me, I was like, God damn it.
Now I'm dead and I'll never use it again.
Yeah.
I mean, big rose for juggling our character sheets during this encounter. Because like, there's a lot. I mean, there's a reason why monster stat blocks are so small normally. But you were like, we have a lot of shit we can use.
Yeah. But in my not defense, I just did the same thing for every character every time. So I picked a thing, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of just knew your guys' best move,
which
Slug was just like to go in and do her attacks, and for you guys was to use like your most powerful thing. Or actually, detention orb is straight up hit or miss.
Yeah.
Like you either get somebody with a DC 13 con check and they're like out of the fight, or you waste it and it's your whole turn.
Yeah. It's like a coin flip, but there's like a weird little like nub on the coin. So sometimes it doesn't land flat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I would use detention orb for Adam if you guys had that.
And hey, you know what? Fuck you for that, man.
Hey, man. You got bubbled.
I got bubbled.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like a rose just for the whole zone. It was really cool. I liked this zone. I guess I've liked them all. I think I like this format that you've set up where we're going through these zones. It's feeling really fun.
It's very funny that you keep calling them clowns. And I keep being like, are you just talking about like, you know, a bunch of losers? Or no, you're talking about actual clowns.
Oh, you mean like an old person being like a bunch of clowns?
Yeah. You're like, oh, you see like three clowns over here. It's like, no, it's actual clowns. They're in makeup.
No, real clowns.
They're clowns, yeah.
Yeah.
They're new metal clowns.
Definitely a thorn for me for not being able to find a map for a slug.
Oh my god! And that one—that was—that's a rose for me that you thought to do that.
I know. Well, you mentioned it in the last episode, and I'm like, oh yeah, because I think that we discussed like it is DARPANET. It's like a closed network internet. So I guess like I can like access certain information, but like I like that we're kind of closed off.
It's just so funny to get just a virus on your friend's computer who you're crashing at his house.
Yeah.
It's so funny just like picturing Adam like turning into like a walking salesman for stuff.
I was glad you brought that up because I remembered like talking about the airship made me be like, oh, like we haven't like sat through geography classes or anything like that. So it's like it does make sense that we would have never really seen or even like think to look for it, and that was like the first time that's like, oh, right. What is outside our city? And it's kind of fun that you failed because now it becomes this thing that it's going to mean even more when we do find one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what Slug gravitates toward on a map.
I do feel so torn between like, okay, but this is the city we love.
Yeah.
And Elmer wanted us to go outside this city and that like sort of like confusing mixture. Yeah.
the city is just, it like needs us right now. Yeah, so like, yeah, we wouldn't want to leave. I think like Elmer wanted us to escape all of the bad stuff. And maybe we're like, we don't want to run from the bad stuff. We want to help the city. And then we would feel better about leaving.
Yeah. But he does have a point that it is like, oh, well, I mean, like, I guess at least it's not wrong to have curiosity.
Yeah. It is true. I wonder if Adam knows about Smuggler's Bounty.
Whoa.
Or if Smuggler's Bounty is still around.
You're actually right. That would be the first place we went.
Just a place that's a lot like where you guys are, but on the beach.
I think that's where we would at least start.
That's definitely like the post-credit scene is us at Smuggler's Bounty.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's so fun to picture that. Do you have a thought about like where Ox would want to go?
I have thought about like what were the woods outside of Galateron before it expanded and got so modernized. Almost think of Ox not like traveling somewhere into the woods, but almost like traveling back in time or something. Like,
whoa.
Seeing the forest that used to be there, like some kind of primeval forest or something.
Whoa. I actually was wondering, because even like asking about the map of Bohemia, I think that there was also like a meta desire in me to be like, is it the same? How much has it changed? Are there new cities? Are there cities that used to be that aren't there anymore?
Right, because you said that this takes place a little bit after.
Yeah, it's just
three.
A little bit after campaign three, it's not terribly different. But like,
there's also just like a lot of
Late Home isn't there.
Yeah,
you know.
Whoa, yeah.
Well, like there's places,
and then the Living Wood, but that's with like the Dragon Elves and things that. Yeah. But it's under Periwinkle and Shiverblight now.
Yeah.
We made it all better.
Oh, I also had a thorn for just not getting to spend enough time in the Big Top.
Oh, yeah.
It was so cool. And like, yeah, the fact that we didn't even get to go to the lounge is always the way with this stuff.
Yeah.
But it does remind me of like that carousel bar in New Orleans.
Oh,
the merry-go-round.
Oh, yes. That was part of it. Yeah. So it was sort of a combination of, there's this bar in Seattle. Is it called Unicorn?
Yeah.
It was a combination of Unicorn in Seattle and the spinning bar in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
And it was going to be like this kind of like spinning bar, kind of a cool bar. But like I said, you guys effectively figured out, I don't know, it's almost like when you're playing a game and you figure out how to do like a jump or something that you shouldn't be able to do without like an add-on, but you get good enough at like brute forcing it that you just get past it.
Yeah. Remember when I was playing Mario Odyssey? There's like one jump you can do where you like, you do the long jump and then you do the jump off of that and then you throw your hat and catch the hat and like you can get like halfway across the map. And I was talking with Emily about this yesterday, that point in a video game when like you're not even having fun, you're just like every part of your brain has been turned off except for the part that is like good at hand-eye control.
And
you're just like, if you turned the screen off, you would see like the deadest look in your eyes.
I know.
Reflecting back at you.
I know.
But like, I don't know. I just like sunk my teeth into it and I could just like do this masterful jump. And then and then I got the coin and was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys, the only thing you guys missed was the Merry-Go Lounge, which was like how it would have been.
Which
less,
honestly, I think Emily would want to go to that more than Slug.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
If I'm honest, you know.
No, this bar does sound awesome.
I mean, you guys figured out pretty quickly that it would just be like, of course, the like secret hatches that people go into are the place where you would hide a tunnel. So that is just where you guys went.
Yeah. Worked out.
At a Rose for the Clown guy that we met, and we asked him how he made money, and he was just like, I attack people.
Like, I just
fucking attack people. At first,
I was like, oh, I guess that's like maybe people, because we're in this like really sexually charged area, and I was like, maybe that's some people's thing. And then I was like, oh, no, he's just mugging people.
Yeah. I know.
I love saying I just attack people and then like backing out onto the dance floor.
Like talking like you're, oh, and then also like, Adam was going to go use the pod and he was like, go come. Just like hyping someone up
just
to go
so
come.
Crass.
It's just so funny. I feel like Adam is like, weirdly, he finds it distasteful that people are hiding it. Like they're going into these little pods and stuff like that. She's like, no, don't hide your love.
It was brought up last episode, but it was really funny how tempted Adam was as soon as you guys got into the zone. You guys very rightly pointed out, like, you just had sex like 20 minutes ago. Like the idea of being that immediately horny is so funny.
It kind of makes sense though, right?
It definitely checks.
Because if get into a loop of this thing.
You're telling me like the full catalog of Big Rick's is available.
Yeah, that's fair. every Christmas element, the Christmas cigarette.
I do feel like Big Rick is sort of like the Joe Camel of this world.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But it's like, been like spending way too much of my mental energy thinking about like Big Rick lore.
Yeah. Because it's so funny what we said, the Joe Camel, when Marlboro Man is right there.
Well, I think in my head, I was realizing like, I do think it is like a Crick elf.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it is like more of like a mythical being.
Yeah. And I love just it just being incorrect. Like him just like being on a horse in the middle of a swamp.
Horse in a swamp. Yeah. I think it's like a lot of swamp stuff. He's got like a beach blanket out on a swamp. It's all swamp based.
Yeah. And his like the biggest Big Rick, the Big Rick that is like the Big Rick, is the one you guys passed that was smoking Mothership cigarettes in Zone 6. Is like the big neon one, which was inspired by, it got taken down like in the past like 20 years or something. Didn't there used to be like a giant cowgirl in Times on Square? Sunset?
Oh, are you thinking of the giant Arby's hat?
No, the giant Arby's hat, I think, was recently taken down.
I mean, it's a pretty sexy hat. It's very long.
Yeah, Sunset.
So what I was thinking about, because I think I texted you about this like before we even started playing, where I'm like, I think Adam has a crush on a giant hologram of a cowboy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like for me in my head, it's like half Big Tex, who is a giant cowboy statue at the Texas State Fair, and then half the hologram that Ryan Gosling falls in love with in Blade Runner.
I haven't seen the new Blade Runner.
New Blade Runner's fun. It's like a like a mood more than a movie, maybe.
Sure.
But I really liked it. But yeah, there's like a whole thing where he's just like kind of flirting with a giant hologram woman, and it just felt like very funny for Adam to just like be trying to get that. So that's my bud, is that I'm getting that. You know, elves live a long time. Maybe there was someone that Big Rick was based on that's still out there, and I can go find him.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Just being absolutely in love with Joe Camel or the Marlboro Man.
I guess though, like let's be really realistic. Though, yeah, like that would imply that showing up and meeting Big Rick, he would be everything that you had already projected onto him,
right? Yeah.
Right. So you wouldn't really be meeting someone as much as, you know, like you almost want. I think I'm not rooting for you to meet Big Rick and have him and fall.
He literally hawks cigarettes, and he's a projection from like the worst company. Yeah.
It's a meet your heroes moment for sure.
Yeah,
but I think that like, I think if you met Joe Camel, I think he'd be cool, though. He'd be like, oh, yeah, I quit a while back.
Joe Camel looks so cool.
He does look really cool.
Yeah.
Is Joe Camel Betty Boop?
Can Joe Camel go to Harvard, though?
Whoa, probably Joe Camel. That's the thing is, right? Joe Camel could have gone to Harvard.
Nothing about camels can't go to Harvard. No,
I think Joe Camel.
He's
a freaking camel humanoid.
But I think Joe Camel probably would have gone to somewhere in the Research Triangle because of all the tobacco money that's filtered into there.
Got it.
I could see him at like NC State.
Oh my God.
The thing with Joe Camel is that like he's so smart, but like he wouldn't want to do the paperwork of going to Harvard. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. He doesn't want to write an essay.
Yeah, he doesn't want to write
an essay. His life is an essay. He's living an essay.
I'm looking at him playing the piano. I'm looking at him hanging out on cars.
Yeah, he's got a leather jacket. He's got a 1956 Chevy. Come on.
Unreal.
Of course this makes teenagers want to smoke. I love that Joe Camel was so effective that they're like, we have to make this fucking illegal. This Camel is too fucking cool. Everyone is gonna want to be this guy.
You know what, they should bring him back and he's just like, hey guys, sorry about that.
Yeah.
What if like some other company just bought him?
Whoa.
And just like repurposed.
And he loved Fruit Loops.
He's
now?
Just like, I was going to say, my brain went to a breakfast cereal.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Fruit Loops?
I quit smoking and I fucking love Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
Could they make cigarette cereal?
Yeah, that just like tastes like ash?
No, sure, I think it just like looks like
just like pour some milk into an ashtray.
Yeah.
You could make a cigarette butt cereal that I bet would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like all the little brown butts with a little tip of sugar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cute. Yeah, a little like cigarette butt marshmallows.
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't let my children have it, but I'd certainly buy some.
Well, yeah, we should be making adult breakfast cereal. We're the ones who are probably fucking nostalgic for it.
That's true. You know what? Maybe, I feel like Joe Camel could get on the protein kick. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he gets so jacked. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's already in great shape.
He's in great shape. And I feel like
just because of like, yeah, physique inflation. Joe Campbell needs to be so ripped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So freaking ripped. Just like a 16 pack. Right. He's always shirtless.
So vascular.
And then he sells us protein shakes.
Yeah.
Protein cigarettes.
Protein cigarettes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You smoke it?
Why not, right? It does seem like they're shoving it in everything now.
This is perfect.
You could smoke your protein? Smoke teen?
40 grams of smoke teen.
Vapable protein, y'all. It's the future. Get it.
God.
Yo, smoke teen, and it's subtly ads for getting teenagers to smoke.
We meant it's for protein, but the teens are smoking it, and that's fine.
And that's not our fault.
That's a byproduct that works for us.
All right, we figured it out here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that, like, to make this work, he is going to start dating Betty Boop.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Bring her back. Yeah. We're ready for...
Bring her back and be like...
A renaissance.
But they should have a casual relationship, because I feel like Joe's thing is that he's available.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
They're open. They're open for sure, because we have need to think everyone to think they can fuck both of them.
We have to think we'd be able to, they'd like our vibe from across
Joe Campbell's like, yeah, we met at Harvard.
when Betty was walking around outside.
Yeah.
She couldn't go there until she was 50.
Betty was at a bar nearby.
She loves my body and I love her mind.
She was at a bar nearby because, like, her huge brain meant that, like, all the professors wanted, like, to bounce ideas off of her, but she couldn't matriculate.
Yeah.
Not for credit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great movie. It's like Betty Boop is like the forgotten like wife that's like shoved into the background. Uh-huh. While this Harvard professor wins all kind of awards. And then we find out
she Betty was writing Boop all is the one research
writing
papers.
All the freaking research papers.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And you know when the movie takes place? 1976.
Yeah, I was just
and then
say.
1977 when it comes out, Betty Boop is the first one.
Yeah, she's the professor's and wife who
guys,
enrolls.
Yeah. We'll call it Boop Smart.
Whoa.
It ends with her walking up the steps. And then someone says, wait, she's the professor's wife. Shouldn't she?
And then
shouldn't
someone
she
said,
like teach here, not just go here?
And then someone and then shushes them nods. And they say, no, she's a student now too.
We're all students of life. And it's Joe Camel.
Whoa.
And he smokes a giant protein cigarette.
A thin Jim.
Yeah.
And then he says, smoke teens. And he winks at the camera. And the whole movie, guess what? It's on TikTok.
Yes.
It's clipped.
It's vertical. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's the first
we go
only
out to
clip
every
farms
single
movie.
Clipping farm. And we just give them the raw
entirely
footage and
clips.
We say, clip this into a movie.
Clip this into a movie. There's no correct
clip
order.
Farms are the
There's
new
no
editors.
Correct order. You just might find out, you might just be like, Betty Boop just went to college. That's what this is.
This is crazy. I'm seeing one of the clips now and it says, this woman has a weird head, but she's smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, folks are clicking it.
They are clicking it. So
we figured it out.
About it.
Boop smart.
Boop smart.
Coming to TikToks near you. Honestly, I think we could turn this around in a week. Next week.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be AI. So it's.
Yeah.
For sure. I could do it in 25 minutes.
And our lawyers defending us as they try to are also going to be AI.
Yeah.
But honestly, the lawyers coming at us are going to be AI.
I let our law firm go because I think I haven't figured out between me and Claude.
Yeah. It's going to be a Claude v. Claude, every lawsuit going forward.
Sweet. We're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with D&D Court.
Yes.
In the meantime, Calder, why don't you take us out?
Oh, gladly. Everybody get ready to load up your phones and check out Boop Smart. Only... in
TikToks.
Theaters, and by theaters, I mean TikToks clipped up to hell.
Yeah.
Roll it.
Roll it.
Smart.
Nice.